We're going to talk for a few moments this morning. Title of my message is Give Me Three. If you remember last week during my message, I talked about something that is very important in our vision for 2018. We talked about five P's last week. We talked about that God had dealt with me for this year, for 2018, about promotion, about professionalism, about preparedness, about prayer, and about your participation. Now, as we talked about that last week, the Lord kind of checked me a little bit about the promotion part. Because even though promotion is important, we need to explain why we're promoting. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, just for a few moments, and I think you're going to get a lot out of this. But how many of you are doing your Bible reading? Praise God. Now you go, well, I'm doing that and then some. Good. Praise the Lord. I'm happy. But if everybody can at least get on the same page with us, at least, that this is a foundation. This is not something we're doing just for our health, and this is not just something that is the know-all, be-all, end-all. This is a foundational step in your development as a Christian. All right? What we're asking you to do is really the bare minimum. I mean, one chapter a day is all we're asking you to do. And so if you haven't been doing that with us yet, stop by out the information booth out there and pick one of these bookmarkers up. This goes right in your Bible. You say, well, I use my Bible online. Well, then you can keep this to keep track of what you're doing. Now, we're trying to work on having digital versions monthly that we'll be able to put up, and you'll be able to see where you are. But this is real handy. You can stick this right in your Bible, and you'll be able to pray and read the Word every day and know that everybody at your church is praying and reading the Word the same every day, right? Because everybody at Direction Church reads their chapter every day, Monday through Friday, and one Saturday in June. That's not a lot, very minimal amount of time. Now listen, let me say this while we're at this. You shouldn't be just trying to skim through this. If you read it, I mean, if it's a long chapter, this may take you 10 minutes or 15 at the longest. But you should be, you know, reading this to be reading it, not skimming it, not to see how fast you can get through it. You should be reading it to actually get it in there. Let me give you one more tip. When you go to read the Word, you ought to ask God, what is it that I'm supposed to get out of this today? Because He has something in it every day that'll change your life. Come on, somebody. I saw somebody that used to, I knew somebody that used to, he used to take Bibles, and people would almost want to crucify him for it. He would take Bibles and he would cut them up. Now, not in a dangerous kind of way. He would cut them up and cut scriptures out and hand those scriptures out to people. And he would use the whole Bible. And you go, how can you use the whole Bible? I don't know. He did. And because there's some things in there you just go, why is that in the Bible? And he got to some obscure passage in Numbers or one of those, you know, Old Testament ones where they're just talking about the census of Israel. You know, so-and-so begat so-and-so and so-and-so. And he got down to that, and he cut that part out, and he was like, and the Lord just said, just hang on, I'm going to show you who to give that to. And it was just one little verse about so-and-so begat so-and-so. That's all it said. And he felt in his heart that he was supposed to give that to somebody. He gave that one obscure passage about so-and-so begatting so-and-so to somebody he met on the street. And when he did that, the person read it and just immediately broke down, started crying, and accepted Jesus right there. And you think, why? And the guy said, now, I understand it's the power of God. And he said, but what is it about that got to you so much? He goes, that's my dad's name and that's my name. Listen, there is something in the Word for everybody. And if you don't read it, you don't know what God's going to say, what God's saying to you. And if you think the Bible is irrelevant and something that is not going to affect your life, you're not reading it. Come on, somebody. And that's why we're doing this. That's why we're putting the Scripture into practice as far as reading it concerned. And that's why we want everybody at Direction Church to read their chapter every day, Monday through Friday. and one Saturday and noon. So pick up your, and if you're behind, you go, well, I got behind. Well, just pick up where we are on Monday. Just pick it up. Don't worry about trying to catch up. Just pick up, all right? Last week, I talked about promotion as part of our vision for this year, and I'm not talking about a promotion like a job. I'm talking about us promoting our church. And we started something here last week at Direction Church for the purpose of telling other people about our church. We call it hashtag give me three. And let me tell you where I came up with that. When I was a youth pastor, and I was a youth pastor for 25 years, and I still go out and do youth events and speak, and I'm not as young as I used to be. I'll be 47 here in about 3 weeks. Hard to believe I'd ever say I would ever be that old, but I'm going to be 47 here in about 3 weeks, and so I don't do as many youth events as I used to. I used to do them all the time, but, you know, I do, and I actually, this time last year, I was actually youth pastoring again for my cousin's church down in Davenport. They were looking to hire a youth pastor, and they were without one, so they said, hey, do you think you could come? And so I hadn't done a weekly youth service in about 5 years, and so I was doing it again. And it's funny how you kind of pick up right where you left off. And so in the process of doing that, of being a youth pastor, we used to host every year when I was a youth pastor in Oklahoma, the Broken Arrow football team would, Broken Arrow High School, would feed the team every Thursday night before their Friday game. And we used to host it one of those Thursdays at Rhema. And they always like coming to us, and they'd say, man, you guys give us like one of the biggest and the best meals. And so we would, because we fed them brisket and mashed potatoes, and really, you know, it wasn't just cold pizza. You know, we're talking about Oklahoma now. So, barbecue sauce and so we would feed them real good. And then I would get to speak to them for a few minutes, and then the coach would always get up and present the awards for the week, and they'd watch their film, and then that was the end of it. And so I was sitting there, and I was listening to the coach talk one day, and every time they would hand out an award, you know, for the most tackles or whatever for the week, or the most yards gained or whatever, they were giving out these stickers that would go on their helmets, and every time they'd call somebody up to receive one, the coach would say, give me three. And then the whole team, without nobody having to convince them, nobody having to say, now come on. I mean, it was automatic. He would say, give me three, and the whole team would go. And, you know, when we're talking over 100 players, so it was thunderous. It was one loud roar of applause. But it was three, boom, 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 really quick. And I started thinking about that. What would happen if all of the body of Christ would be in unison telling people about Jesus just three times a week? I'm not talking about, you know, awkwardness, and we're going to get into that in here in a few minutes. But we started this last week going, give me three, where we're asking you to tell somebody about your church in some form or fashion three times a week. Just three random people, and we're going to get into that here in a minute. But the Lord had kind of spoke to me, and when I say the Lord spoke to me, I don't think that it was I've never in my life say that I've ever heard an audible voice or seen Jesus or anything like that. So when I say the Lord spoke to me, I'm talking about on the inside. And I felt like the Lord said to me this. He said, if people don't know about you, talking about the church, and hear excitement from you and the people in your church, why would you expect anybody to find out about you? And a lot of times we are. We're waiting on somebody else to tell them about Jesus, tell them about our church, to tell them about what's going on. And as we were talking about that, I felt like I needed to explain further what Give Me Three is all about, because it isn't just about the promotion of our church, because you can get into selfishness just promoting your church. Amen. It is not just about promoting our church, although that's part of it, okay? It is about investing in somebody else's life here on earth, but then it's also about investing in their eternity. I need a better amen than that. We got to understand that in order for the growth of the kingdom of God, then the growth of the church and the salvation of people in the world, don't rest anywhere else except on our shoulders. Come on, somebody. Now, when I say us, I'm talking about us as Christians. We're always waiting on somebody else. We're always waiting on the Holy Spirit. We're always waiting on God to do something to those people, to get their attention. They're waiting on a reason why they should invest their time. I don't know if I'm really ready to talk to them about that. What if they tell me no? We're always waiting for a reason. There, a lot of times we're not even thinking about, or perhaps we're not even aware of the responsibility that we as a church have been given. And if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open those to Matthew chapter 4. This is what I'm going to talk about this morning. You are squarely responsible for the advancement of the message of Jesus here on the earth. That is your responsibility. Well, no, it's yours. You're a pastor. No, my job is to equip you to go out and share. Come on now. The Bible says that ministry gifts were given for the edification of the saints for the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Well, we're supposed to be telling other people about Jesus. It's quiet in here this morning. It is our responsibility as the body of Christ, as Christians, to share Jesus with somebody else. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you're in the right place because you're surrounded by people that whose responsibility is to share Jesus with you. Every single one of us equally share the responsibility to share Jesus and what he has done. The Bible actually has a term for what that is. It's called the gospel. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. Jesus called out to them. He's talking to two brothers here. He says, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Now, in order to fish, you got to have bait. Is that true? You got to have bait if you're going to fish. You can't just go out and throw a hook in the water. If you're throwing a hook in the water, you're going to be sitting there for a long time by yourself. So Jesus tells them, I'm going to show you how to fish for people, but then he doesn't give them any bait. He just says, I'm going to show you how. And so then over the next period of time, he starts showing them how good he is to people and what his will is for people. And Jesus blew everybody's mind. And I want everybody to understand what this is. When Jesus came to the earth, he blew everybody's mind because he was not what the Messiah they thought he was going to be. A lot of people have a lot of images and ideas of what God's supposed to be like. And it's usually because of the filter somebody else has put in their mind. A lot of times people have an image or an idea of what Jesus is supposed to be. And it's really what somebody else has told them. And so think about growing up in a Jewish community being told that the Messiah is going to come and set everybody free from captivity. What would that think? They were thinking he was going to come as a conqueror and like a, you know, somebody that would come in and just slay all of their enemies. And Jesus shows up and says, love your enemies and love your neighbor, and I'm healing the sick and I'm raising the dead and I'm going to help people, you know, other people obtain their purpose in their life. And the Jewish people were like, that is not what the Messiah is supposed to be doing. He blew everybody's mind. And those that did follow him, I mean, he was performing miracles and stuff like that. But listen, he wasn't the only person that was performing miracles. There were other people that were doing miracles in those days. They were false messiahs. So that's why there were so many people that were skeptical of him, because he didn't rise up as a military leader like they thought. And in our world that we live here today, the images of God have changed. Some people think that all he does is do perform miracles. Some people think that he's this judge sitting on a big throne in heaven with a baseball bat ready to bash your head in if you do something wrong. Anybody else got raised that way? Well, I was raised in a Pentecostal church where if you did something wrong, you better repent or God's going to strike you down. I heard that more than once. A lot of people have all kinds of other things. You know what? The power of God is not real and relevant anymore. So there's all kinds of images of what people think God is supposed to be like. And so when we go out to fish for people, we don't know what bait is going to attract the fish. Come on now. And so we just try whatever we've heard somebody else say. We try and tell people, you know, whether if you're from the miracle side, we try and tell people what we see Benny Hinn say on TV. You know, oh, God's going to do something miraculous in your life, dear people. My God, I feel the power of God here right now. And some people get into that, and other people go, come on now, am I telling the truth or not? Sometimes we think that we're supposed to just be, you know, lovey-dovey, mushy people all the time, and we just lay down and let people walk all over us, take advantage of us, and people go, those people are suckers down there. Go down there, you'll get something free. We don't know what works. We don't know, because we haven't really got to know Jesus. Jesus spent years with these guys showing them, listen to me now, showing them what bait to use, come on, to operate in fishing for people. So if Jesus says that, then he says in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, he gives them a summary of his last few years with them. And he says here in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he says to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want to just stop right here for a second, and I want to say what the words we just read. Preach. Preach the gospel. Now, listen to me. What he's saying here, leave that up if you don't mind. What he is saying here is not just to a group of preachers. He is not just talking to religious people. He's talking to all of us. If you've grown up or been around church at all, he is talking something. This is called the Great Commission. Okay? This is something we've heard a lot about. Jesus is talking to the church here, not just the 12 disciples. Go into all the world and preach. Now, let's talk about the word preach for a minute. Because preach has a lot of word, different meanings in today's day and age. Some people think that preaching is what I do. And it is. But that's not all it is. Some people think preaching, and I've heard it a lot, especially in the online community now, people get real, they don't even have to be talking about the gospel. They can be talking about something they're passionate about. And they'll say this, I don't mean to get preachy. Well, did you even quote scripture at all? I mean, so a lot of times people think that it's just really being passionate and really yelling about what you're passionate about. Then you're preaching. Well, where does that come from? That comes from a filter that's in place, because some people you hear the word preach and they immediately their mind goes to a revival somewhere with sawdust on the floor and the guy spitting and slinging sweat everywhere, and the Bible says that if you don't repent you're going to hell. That's what preaching is to some people. Other people, when you say preaching, they think of Dr. King standing on the mall. You know, I have a dream today, and they think that's preaching. Other people think preaching, and it's Billy Graham. You can't see the air, but the air is there. Some people think that's preaching. Okay, all of those are, but that's not all that preaching is. When Jesus said, you have to go preach the gospel, he doesn't mean you do something you don't know how to do. He doesn't, you know, you say, well, I would never be able to stand up and say, Jesus died for your sins, and if you don't know him, there's going to be a hot place for you in your future, and it's not going to be a spa. It's not going to be a sauna. It's going to be eternity in torment. That's not preaching, unless that's you. You say, man, I wish we'd have church like that sometimes. Here's what the word preach means. Preach means to proclaim or to announce officially or publicly. I'm supposed to make an announcement. I'm officially proclaiming. Listen to me. You ever been reading? I mean, listen, all you had to do is turn on the news this weekend and you heard this, you know, something is an official statement. You know what that is? That's preaching. Making an official statement, a proclamation. This is how it is. You ever walked into a room and saw somebody doing something and you go, I'm not doing that. You know what you just did? You just preached. This is a good one. You ever been in a relationship and you made it Facebook official? You know what I'm talking about? I remember when that first started coming out, and I put on there that, you know, me and Jody, married to Jody Bailey. And people were like, well, it's about time. We've been married like 8 years at that point. About time y'all get married, stop living in sin. And all. I'm like, ho, ho, ho. You know what we're doing when we make those kind of proclamations and we make things official and we say, you know, I think we can tell people now we're a couple or whatever. Listen, you're making it official. You're preaching. To proclaim something means to preach. But now what did Jesus say? Go into all the world and preach or proclaim that you're Facebook official? No. Did he say go and preach and tell the world what your official stance on the memo that came out this week? No, it's not that. He's telling us to go and proclaim or make an official statement of the gospel.
Amen.
Well, you go, that's good. Do I just go out and tell everybody? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What does that mean? To preach the gospel. Well, here's what the word gospel means. And some of you probably tell me before I even get there. It means good news. Amen. What is the bait that causes us to catch people? Good news. Amen. Well, let me ask you this. Why are we doing such a great job delivering bad news to people? And then wondering why people don't want to have anything to do with us. Oh, come on now. Here's the good news. Paul encapsulates it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. I want you all to listen to this real close. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself. Amen. Through Christ.
Amen.
Now listen to me. If that's not good news to people, then just give it some time because it's going to be good news.
Amen.
To them. Listen, here's what the good news is. This is the good news. We were separated from God, and God made a way for us to get
Yes.
back to him.
Yes.
You don't have to live your life by yourself. You don't have to walk down this wilderness path of life with all the cares in the world hanging over you with no hope. You don't have to face giants by yourself and impossible situations by yourself. You don't have to go through life carrying burdens. Come on, somebody. You have been brought back to the person who can handle every bit of that. Let me try it this way. You may have been separated from God, but is that going to get your attention? But you've been bought, sought, brought back to a place that you can be in fellowship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to make you agree with me this morning. Okay. Look at what he says here in verse number 19. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them.
Amen. Is that good news or what?
How do you get much better news than that? I was walking through the, you know, living room the other day, and I stubbed my toe, and I let a few curse words fly at my coffee table. God's not holding that against you.
Amen.
Now, the way I was raised, if you did that, you better get in your room and get on your knees right now because the judgment of God is going to fall. Okay? And he gave us us. He's talking to the church here, not somebody else. Come on. Us. Not preachers. Us. This wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Well, I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit to do something with them. You're what he's doing. I'm waiting on God to get their attention. You're the attention getter.
Amen.
I'm waiting on God to say something that really pricks their heart. Listen to what he's telling you to say.
Amen.
You're the one that's going to prick their heart. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
He's making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead God, come back to God. Now, the word reconciliation means this. And this is so funny to me because this is not the way I was raised. The word reconciliation, the message that we've been given, the message of reconciliation, if you look it up in the Greek dictionary, it actually means this: the opposite of the wrath of God.
Oh, yeah, amen.
Oh, America better be careful. God's going to pour his wrath out on it. Well, how's that good news? I'm not sent to preach that. Come on, somebody. Oh, we better be careful or something bad's going to happen. Where's that good news at? Jesus didn't tell me to go preach that. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Jesus told me to go and preach the opposite of the wrath of God. The ministry of reconciliation. Opposite of the wrath of God. Namely, the attitude of God turning to man again in his grace. That's what the word reconciliation means. And I and you and we have been giving that ministry. We've been given that message that we're supposed to be proclaiming. All right? We're not supposed to be preaching bad news. And we're not supposed to be preaching about the wrath of God and God's mad at you and God's going to beat you over the head with a tack hammer the first time you stub your toe and cuss. We're not supposed to be preaching to those who are addicted in their own flesh that God's not going to have anything to do with you until you clean your act up. That's not good news to anybody.
Amen. Amen.
That is the worst kind of bait, come on now, for catching people that you can think of. And that's why the church has such a negative reputation in the world as a whole. Our message should cause joy in people, because it carried. Now listen, this was a note that was attached to the word a reconciliation and the gospel, both of these. Our message should cause joy because it carries power and affects who we are proclaiming it to.
Amen.
Listen, when we started Give Me Three, it doesn't have to be this hard, awkward. If we can just figure this out and get it down, how this is supposed to happen. This is supposed to be something that's easy. Now, I'm going to show you some videos today because people have all kinds of ideas when it comes to sharing the gospel of what it's really like. And so we're going to show you the first one right now. Sharing the gospel doesn't have to be like this.
Jim. Sharing your faith doesn't have to be hard. Let's do it together.
Now, a lot of times people have that. That's the, like, sharing the gospel is so hard. And we're almost a little bit ashamed of it and a little bit embarrassed to do it. Because this is the kind of filter that's in place. So in order to answer these questions today, we're going to ask this. Who are we supposed to, what are we supposed to proclaim? And who are we supposed to proclaim it to? So the first thing that will help you in this is, number one, identify who you're going to talk to. If we were going to say it churchy, we'd say it this way. Identify your mission field. Psalms chapter 96, verse number 3, says this, declare his glory among the nations, the marvelous works among all peoples. Who's the mission field? Everybody. Who am I supposed to talk to? Anybody. Jesus called the disciples to go and do this, but he didn't call them something weird. Come on now, he didn't go and say to them, you have now been given the ministry of soul winning. Now, some people will tell you that. I just don't have that ministry. Baloney. You believe in Jesus? You do. Well, I just don't feel like I'm called to ministry. Jesus didn't call them that. Jesus called them to the ministry of soul winning, but he didn't give them that official title. He told them, I'm going to make you fishers of people. Why did he use those words? Because they were already fishers of fish. Fishers of fish. What's Jesus saying to him? You can make a difference right where you are right now, being who you are.
Amen. Amen.
He said, you guys don't get the ministry of soul winning. He goes, you're going to fish for people. Now, you might be somebody that it's your job. You might be an administrator. Then guess what? You might be able to administrate people into the kingdom.
Amen.
Come on now. I'm saying Jesus can use you to get people to know about him no matter what you do or where you work, and it doesn't have to be some big religious act. God wants us to make the most out of the circumstances that we're in and show the good news to everyone and anyone that we come across. You have an opportunity every day. It doesn't have to be something that you're not. Well, Pastor, I'm not you. Good. Because if you're just like me, one of us is not necessary. And it ain't me. Opportunities occur naturally every day. We overlook them because we think that we have to become someone that we aren't. Yeah, but you understand, I was taking the kids to school and my hair was all crazy. I didn't have no makeup on. And you know, I mean, I barely had my robe on. I mean, I just took the kids to school real fast. I mean, and there was this girl sitting there in the car next to me. She was dropping her kids off and she was crying. And I felt like I was supposed to say something, but I wasn't put together. You just missed the fish. And the reason is everybody has these ideas of what sharing your faith is. And a lot of times we feel like what we think it's supposed to be, we aren't. You start talking about sharing the gospel with people, and people have these ideas of these people that make it look so easy because they do it so many places and so many, and they get it, and it's so easy for them, and they go, it's not easy for me. And I'm not going to become weird like that. Roll the next one. This is what many people think that it's supposed to be like.
Hey. Hey, you ever try listening to Christian music? Here, yeah, it's good. It's better.
I love this one right here. Watch this.
Yeah.
help you find anything?
No, but I know what you've been searching for your whole life.
Sharing your faith? There's a better way. Let's do it together.
Now listen, there are certainly people that can pull that off and make that happen and get people saved.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not one of those people. I'm not. I'm just not. And some people think, I'm not going to share the gospel because I got to be like that. That's a filter that you have in place. Where do you usually spend your time fishing? Come on. Because that's where God's calling you. That's where God's calling you to be. Sharing the gospel in the world that you live in is not you becoming somebody that you're not. God made you in a way that the gospel can come out of you very easily if you're just looking for the right opportunity. Jesus told the disciples that they could stay fishermen, and then he trained them how to do soul winning in a fisherman's world. Catching up with family members, friends, people at work, checking in on your neighbor, talking to the girl that's checking you out at the cash register. All these places are people. These are places and people that you can do soul winning at. You can give people, you can give me three at those places. Even if you say it's something as simple as, listen, I'm going to be praying for you. What have you done? You just shared the gospel. It's showing them God's love and God's compassion in their world. Number two, stay focused on the gospel. If you're going to lead somebody, you need to know where you're leading them to. Billy Graham said this, I don't have to make the gospel relevant. It's always relevant in any part of the world. Well, I don't know what's going on in their life. You don't need to. The message of the gospel will fit it. Well, you don't know what's going on in their life and how bad they're hurting. The gospel will still fix it. Well, you don't know what's going on. They're about to get divorced, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. Doesn't matter. The gospel, come on, we'll fix it. The definition of the word gospel had another note attached to it, and it said this: bad news brings sorrow, and good news causes joy, for the word carries power and affects what it proclaims. The power of change in a person's life that brings the truest form of purpose, satisfaction, and freedom is the good news that God loves them and restored them to life that he created them to live. That's the truest form. It doesn't have to be a sermon. You don't have to be a minister, preacher, per se. People are depending way too much on it. Listen to me. Preachers are great. We're here for a reason. There's nothing wrong with preachers. But listen to me, the mass people, the saints, will win way more people to Christ than the collectively, come on, than all the ministry gifts combined. I love evangelists, and I love pastors, and I love all the rest of them, teachers and prophets and apostles. But you, come on now, as a person, a member of the body of Christ, united with the other members of the body of Christ, have way more potential to win way more people to Christ than all of us ministers combined. Let's roll the last one. This is what people are expecting they have to know and be like.
Good morning. A few announcements before we begin. This Wednesday's potluck dinner has been postponed on account of the county fair. We'll pick up with the usual schedule next month.
Now, this morning, we're going to continue with our series on evangelism. Let me go get my notes.
Now, you are week 43 in our evangelism series. We focus on the importance of subliminal messaging. Was it week 33? Oh, no, 37.
Sharing your faith? There's a better way. Let's do it together.
No. This is, see, the, and it cracks me up when people go, well, I can't preach like you. You shouldn't. You shouldn't be coming in and having to expect to know Greek and Hebrew and all. That's not, come on, sharing the gospel. We tell that stuff to you to help in your development, but that's not going to win somebody to Christ. If the gospel is good news, living that good news in front of people is just as important as telling them the good news. Come on, you ought to be living consistent. You ought to be a good friend and a listener to people. You ought to believe for blessings in your life. What happens when you get blessed? People go, man, what happened? Where'd you get that from? Tonight, when we watch the Super Bowl, whoever wins, I guarantee one of them is going to say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Something else we need to do, don't judge people. Well, you don't know. Yeah, but it's that kind of debauchery and stuff that's going on in their lives that's causing America to go to hell in a handbasket. Yeah. And so is judging people.
Amen.
God frowns on that just as much as he does anything else. We have been empowered. Believe we've been empowered. And that same power is going to go to work in you when the opportunity arises. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Stick with the gospel. All right, next, focus on your story. What's God done for you? If you're going to give me three, don't go out and try and preach my message again. Tell somebody your story. What has God done in your life? Man, that's important. Many people believe that they need to have the ministry of an evangelist before they can go do this. They need to have this great dramatic testimony. You know, my friend Jeff Bardell, some of you were here when he was at the church a while back. Jeff had his arm ripped off by playing golf. Not by playing golf. He plays golf. He was at an industrial accident and ripped it. He had his arm ripped off. And he's got no right arm. But he broke the world record for the longest drive of a golf ball with one arm. Was an All-American, won a national championship in golf. And every time I'll go to the driving range with him, it's just a matter of time. There's a crowd of people standing around watching him hit 275 yards in the air with one arm.
Amen. Amen.
And people go, I don't have a dramatic testimony like that. So? I mean, I got a pretty good testimony myself until I compare it to Jeff's. And I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't die on the operating table at Duke with all my blood gone and my arm ripped off. And I didn't break the world record. And I didn't win a national championship, and I wasn't voted All-American in golf with one arm. Yeah, that's pretty awesome. The vast amount of salvations in relationship building with God will come from the mass of people who will dare to share their ordinary testimony. You can do more damage to the kingdom of darkness with your ordinary, boring testimony that you think is so boring and ordinary than any of the rest of the testimonies by themselves. You never know what it can mean to somebody until you share your story.
Right.
Listen, when Jesus would go out and preach, he would speak in parables. He would say cool stuff too. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that cometh to me must believe. I mean, he would say cool stuff like that. Usually with an English accent. And he just looked like Jim Caviezel. I mean, come on. Which we all know he didn't. We all know he was Jewish. Okay. By the way, did anybody see this week they're making The Passion Part 2? They really are. It's all going to be about the resurrection. Yeah, kind of cool. But anyway. And so a lot of times Jesus would say things like that. But those were not the majority of the things he said. He would say things like, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he would start telling a story, and then people would go, wow, what does that mean? And then he would clarify what it means. Here's what I want you to understand. If Jesus spoke in parables that were obviously anointed and brought forth fruit, your story, come on now, of what God means to you and what God is doing in your life is equally as anointed and powerful as the stories Jesus told. Come on now.
Amen. Amen.
You mean I am as anointed as Jesus? Well, is there a different Holy Spirit? Because that's who anointed Jesus.
Amen.
Your story is equally. Come on. So maybe you need to go write it down.
Yeah.
Write down your story. What's God done in your life? What's God doing in your life right now? Come on now. Write it down. Share it with people. Well, I can't wait to stand up in front of a bunch of people and tell somebody. If you can't tell somebody at work or somebody that's a friend of yours in just a few simple, quick, you're never going to stand in front of giant crowds and share it. Come on now. What was your life like before you found Christ? Before you started going to church? What was the message of the good news? What's it done in your life? If you can tell somebody that real quick, you're making an impact. Come on. You're preaching the gospel. You're giving me three. Come on, somebody. Next, invite them to come to church with you. Now, listen, this is not the know-all, be-all. This is part four, or this is like the fourth step. But so many times, people witness to people, or people will live away from them and pray for people, but they will never invite them to church. They go, well, it's more important to build the kingdom of God. It is. It is. It's more important to get people saved. But what are you doing to further their, come on, development? I mean, if we just were giving birth to babies and we just laid them out on the sidewalk somewhere, what's the survival rate of human beings going to be? Come on, they're going to die of starvation. Come on now. They're going to die from wild animals eating them and all kinds of crazy stuff. Bad things are going to happen. Not every story is like Tarzan. Come on, just abandon a baby in the wilderness and the apes are going to raise him and he's going to be, you know, king of the jungle. That's not going to happen. If we just start birthing babies and laying them outside on the sidewalk, they're going to get run over by cars. Come on, it's going to be a great catastrophic loss of life. Listen to me. That's what happens with mass evangelism that doesn't invite people to church. I'm all for you just getting people saved, but if you don't invite them to church, you're not fulfilling the next step because they have to be discipled and raised and nurtured or else they're going to end up dead just like they were before. Once people accept Jesus, have the word planted in their heart, exposure to other believers will water the seed and strengthen their faith. When you don't have to be here to serve, and you aren't bringing someone you can actually sit with, then you go, well, maybe I can just take the day off and not come to church. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're robbing anybody that walks in that door of not knowing the part of God that's in you. You have a part of God inside you, and it's a part that only you have. There's not another person on the earth that has the same part of God inside them that you do. And if we want to get a well-rounded view of who God is, we got to know other believers. And so let me say this as a church body now. When you're not serving and you're not doing anything at church and you're not going to be gone on vacation, that's not the time to skip church. You're missing out on the role, come on, of showing God to somebody else. And I'm calling that being a momentum builder here. Your role, if you're not serving, is your role is a momentum builder.
Amen.
When people walk in that door and half the church is empty, that's momentum that we have to try and create somewhere else. Well, but I got so much going on. Again, you got it backwards. We're supposed to be sharing the gospel, using the bait, come on now, and catching people. We're supposed to be catching people. Well, I don't really know anybody, and I just moved here. Then come here and be part of the net that we're throwing into the water.
Amen, amen, yes.
Okay, uncomfortable. We'll move on. This is how important you are in coming to church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too, and this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. Now, the King James says it this way, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you don't come to church and there are people here that don't know Christ, come on now. They're not being exposed to that hope of glory. It's important for you to be here. I know, but I had a long week and I'm tired. And every Sunday. I'm tired every Sunday. Come on, I don't want to get up either. This is what I moved here for. And that alarm clock goes off at 6. And I go, you foul demon, shut up. And I want to roll over and pull the covers back up over my head and go to sleep. Yeah, but pastor, yeah, but that's you, and that's what you do, and you're supposed to be here. So are you.
Amen.
So are you. Come on, what if your body just decides, I'm just going to quit? You know, your liver just decides, you know what? I'm not important today. I'm not going to go. I'm tired. Guess where you're going? The hospital or the morgue? This is not in my notes, so this is for somebody. Yeah, but pastor, I mean, you're the pastor. You have to be there. What if I wasn't? What if I just decided to sleep in one Sunday? You know what it'd be? Painfully awkward. People would be like, well, what do I do now? I mean, Luke's done singing. What do we do now? Luke, you're going to have to sing a little bit longer. People go, well, what if Luke decides he doesn't want to show up one day? You don't want me up there. It's important. And you know what? There is a, and I'm not even, I haven't even gotten to the part where you're supposed to be bringing people. I'm just talking about you bringing yourself. You ought to be here. Those doors are open. I'm tired. I know, but I've got so much going on. I got a lot going on. Yeah, but I spent all day yesterday working on something. I did too. But I'm putting God first in my life, and I'm showing the Jesus that's in me to all of you that come in this door. There's a part of Jesus in me that you don't know. Come on. And there's a part of Jesus in you that I don't know. And the only way I'm going to know that Jesus is if we're together. Come on, somebody. Don't get quiet on me because you're getting convicted. Shout amen. Nobody will know you're feeling convicted. Get in church and share Jesus with one another. A big study that was done in the late 2000, you know, before 2010. So what do you call that? The O's? 2000 O's? Said 90%+ of people would go to church with somebody that would invite them. 90%+. That means 9 out of 10 people that you'll ask to come to church with you will come with you. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You tried it once. Okay, so that means the next 9 you should get.
Amen.
Well, but I was so embarrassed and so shy and so backward. Well, why don't you go ahead? The odds are for you now. You got the one out of the way. Well, I don't know if I know somebody well enough to invite them to church with me. Red flag in your life. Just leave that for another time. Once people either accept Jesus or have the word planted in their heart, exposure to other believers waters the seed and strengthens their faith. Give me 3, and I'm done, isn't just about us telling people about our church, but it is communicating the life-giving, come on, life-changing, hope-having, come on, message that God loves those around us. The worst sinner you can think of, God loves them.
Amen.
Come on. The ugliest sinner that you can think of, come on, Jesus died for them.
Right.
The worst situation in the world, come on, Jesus died to solve it.
Amen.
The brokenness, The most broken home that you can think of. Come on, Jesus died to heal it. The poorest person, come on, Jesus died to meet their needs. The sickest person, come on, Jesus died to heal them. Come on, the most depressed person that you can think of that cries all the time and is worried about everything. Come on, the joy of the Lord is to be their strength too. But that message is not going to get out there if we aren't telling them. And when I say we, I don't mean me and Jody. I mean we. People roll their eyes and go, oh, you're one of those. Yeah, I'm one of those. I believe in Jesus. I ain't going to shove Bibles off the shelf at you. Come on. I'm not going to sit next to you and slip a track into your magazine because I'm ashamed. No. I'm just here to love on you and pray for you. Come on, God's not mad at you. That's good news. You ought to come to my church with me sometime. We believe in all these things, and it happens at our church all the time. I'm not kidding you guys. In the last 4 or 5 weeks, I've had 7 different testimonies of unexpected financial increase. And I'm not talking about just like, oh, somebody gave me $5. That would be 8. I haven't even heard that one. But I'm talking about $1,000 bonuses. Come on now. New jobs that they're actually making a livable wage on. Not just like, you know, McDonald's flipping hamburgers. I'm not talking about $8 or $10 an hour. I'm talking $30,000+ a year. I'm talking like a real livable wage. I'm talking about thousands of dollars in bonuses meeting goals and getting, you know, new jobs. I mean, I'm hearing it over and over and over and over. 7 in the last 3 or 4 weeks. What better good news is that than you could tell somebody, you should come to church with me. We believe in God meeting your needs here. And let me tell you, there are 7 examples of it just in the last couple of weeks. Come on, we believe in God raising people from the dead, and we believe God heals. Let me tell you about this little baby that we prayed for. It's a grandson of one of our members that had to have emergency surgery because he was dying. And he's home and well and whole now. That stuff doesn't get out there on its own. You have to be telling people. And just like our goal is to read one chapter a day, every day, Monday through Friday, our goal now is also to tell 3 people what God's doing in your life. Come on, mention church. Invite them to church. 3. That's all we're asking. 3. Not just so we can have a big church. Not just so we can have full seats so we can go, wow, look at what our church is doing. No, it's because every time we see a seat filled, that's another soul not going to hell. Come on, somebody. That's another soul that Jesus can move in their life and touch their life. Change their life. Praise God. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you, Lord.